Back on Get Up, Best of the Week is brought to you by Ace Hardware. The squad is here and ready to go. I got basketball acumen for days.
You don't even have a secret.
I got football on this. Her shoes and her nails match. Alan Hahn got called out by Ric Flair.
Woo! They said that you could have him in a broom in a match and people want to watch it.
Correct.
If this is where he is in his career, I'll put my money on the broom.
No. Woo! No way.
Oh, wow, y'all.
That look right there. She's Everybody so knows your mom has given you that look once.
She's so disappointed.
This is a bit. I get it.
Sometimes we do things just to amuse ourselves. I hope that was funny at home. I am being told, Mel, that you have some bones to pick.
I've been listening to everybody, and I hear some crap. I like to clean it up.
There is nothing better than when Mel just starts arguing with conversations we had an hour ago.
I'm waiting for the point you're trying to make here.
You know what I was doing in 2004? Running around in elementary school.
If you were looking to ruin my day, there are very few ways you could do that better than telling me you were in elementary school at a time when I was hosting Mike and Mike in the Morning. You're not just taller than me, but you're also really young.
Get closer. Well, let's move in here.
Just better than me in every... Look, she can see over the top of my head.
It's okay, Greeny. We're going to be all right.
He's running point.
Maybe
running
I'll
point.
Give you my heels next time.
Got it.
Yeah, that was Make the Host Feel Short Day here on Get Up. This is Make the Host Feel Great Day. Look who joins us, the Hall of Famer from NFL Network. Kurt Warner is up with us early this morning. Kurt, welcome. It's a delight to have you for the hour here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Greeny. Great to get up with you guys and get excited about this upcoming draft.
We are counting down the days, 6 days from now. Meanwhile, we have another hour coming to you live with the Hall of Famer. We're live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and let's dive into it. The draft is on the way. The speculation with the number 2 overall pick continues. Jaden Daniels met with the Vikings last night, a day after the Commanders hosted Daniels along with Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. That was a move that, according to our Adam Schefter, did not sit well with Jaden Daniels' camp.
Well, it didn't seem to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number 2 overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
And if the process is open, it gets interestinger and interestinger because the general managers lie. The numbers do not. The odds for the number 2 overall pick in February heavily favored Drake May. That swung, and Jaden Daniels, his odds were as short as minus 350 at noon yesterday. At 5 p.m. yesterday, they moved to minus 180. As of this morning, they're only minus 130. So this gets fascinating, and we have to figure out how to interpret it. And we are delighted to welcome, again, Kurt Warner in with us here live this morning, along with the rest of the crew. You see it here, Jeff Darlington, Mike Tannenbaum. And, Kurt, we looked it up. Dominique Foxworth never intercepted you. Neek, I'm sorry. We were hoping to have video of a pick, Neek, from you on the Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. We were unable to locate one. My apologies.
I'm sorry. It's not your fault. It's Kurt's fault.
That's exactly right. He was too damn good. Okay, Kurt, let's start right up there at the top. There seems to be very little question at this point that Caleb Williams is going to go number 1. If you're the Washington Commanders and you need a quarterback, and we all assume they do, if you were making the decision, which one from this class would you take?
Greeny, I go with the guy that you just talked about in Jaden Daniels. Now, there's things to like about all these different guys, and I understand how you can fall in love with different pieces that each of these guys bring to the table. But for me, you have to look at the body of work, and specifically the body of work last year. Now, there is going to be a question is, do you get what we saw last year on the field for the rest of his career? But you don't have to look too far back in an LSU uniform on a guy like Joe Burrow, who had that one standout great season, and we've seen that continue in the NFL as he's become one of the greatest quarterbacks we've got in our league right now. So I believe when it comes to Jaden Daniels, you say, I've got to go off the body of the work. And last year on film, I don't think there was a quarterback in college football that played better week in, week out, had some of those games that you just sit back and go, wow. So when you compare all of these guys, things to like about all of them, but I believe Jaden Daniels has to be that guy at the number 2 pick.
Yeah, last year combined rushing and passing, he had over 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, won the Heisman and basically every other award. So help me, Jeff Darlington, my insider extraordinaire. How should I interpret the fact, if indeed Washington has decided which quarterback it wants, how should I interpret the fact that they brought four of them in the other day?
Well, I think that that was essentially, according to Adam Peters, a way to make sure that the decision they make is the right one. Now, whether you believe that or not is up to you at this point in time when general managers generally lie. But Peters did come with great conviction. I want to read you a quote from Thursday when he said, "We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. We feel great about staying there." Look, I understand it's lying season for general managers, but at number two, there's really no incentive. Perhaps, I know you have your theories about why you would lie right now. You've got essentially, if Caleb Williams goes one, the pick of the litter after that. So it seems that Adam Peters is locked in on who he's going to take. It seems we're going to have to wait till next Thursday to find out who that is.
Mike Tate, talk to me about just the way this week is going.
Yeah, look, I think they've made up their mind. When they set up these visits and this combined visits, there's a lot of logistics screening that go into it. So maybe they were 95% done, 98% done. And when you put those peers together, it does give you a chance to look at, hey, who are the natural leaders here? I know one of the reasons we fell in love with Mark Sanchez when we went through the process, he was clearly the leader amongst his peers. That wasn't the only reason, obviously, we took him. So I got the sense they have to know where they are 6 days away, working on this for 4 months. So I wouldn't read too much into it. You're basically crossing T's and dotting I's at this point.
So, I mean, Dominique, are you buying that? I guess that's the question. There's something about this whole process that doesn't pass the smell test for me. If it is as simple as Jaden Daniels is the next best prospect, many people believe he's actually the best prospect. They have the second pick, and they've known for a while that Caleb Williams is going off the board first. They could be behaving very differently. I don't pay attention to the things they say. I just watch the things they do. This strikes me as an odd way to go about the process if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that they are maintaining a suspense for us, but I'm with you, Greeny. I think that it doesn't hurt, though, is the thing. Like, having all these guys come in town doesn't hurt. You get to see them again for the last time, which ensures that there's nothing new. They didn't go get a face tattoo. They're not acting erratically. There's nothing crazy happening. They didn't lose 15 pounds. I don't know, anything. Like, if you're going to give me a chance to take a look at all the top quarterbacks in the draft, I'm going to do it one last time. It doesn't mean that I'm considering something else. If it's offended Jaden Daniels, then that was a mistake. But nothing's wrong with saying I'm sorry after you draft him with tens of millions of dollars. Put a couple hundred, extra hundred thousand on there to make sure he knows you mean it.
Hey, Mike T, if a quarterback got a face tattoo the week before the draft, would it influence your decision making?
I wouldn't say it's outcome determinative, but it would certainly be good to know.
It would be something to think about. All right, Kurt, since we've not had a chance to have you, and we're so delighted to have you with us today, NFL Network and some of our shows are doing a variety of crossovers, and we're thrilled to have you with us for the hour. Let me just hear your perspective on the quarterbacks. Let's hear about Drake May, because really, for the most part in this process, the debates have been between Jaden Daniels and Drake May at number two and at number three. What do you see in Drake May as a prospect?
Well, I think what everybody sees is the physical gifts. I mean, the big body, the big arm that can push the ball down the field. You watch every single tape, and you are going to see a few special throws on every tape that you throw up there. And they make you say, wow, and they say, if you can bottle that up and get that week in and week out, you can improve the consistency. It's easy to see why people would fall in love with him and say he's prototypical in terms of a drop back quarterback. I know a lot of people compare him to a Justin Herbert. You definitely see the comparisons. The biggest thing for me is consistency. I know when you get to the NFL level, I watch the tape every single week, the quarterbacks that make the layups, the quarterbacks that are most consistent at doing the little things are the ones that always give their teams a chance. And that's where he's missed this past year. There were too many layups, too many throws that you just say, okay, why did he not make that throw? You have to make that throw time and time again so his technique can get away from him. There's things that can get loose when it comes to throwing the football. So it gives you pause, because we all want to believe, oh, that's an easy thing to correct. Yeah, he can change his feet. He can get more stable. A guy like Josh Allen did that throughout his career. but it's not as easy as it looks. And so that to me is the one thing that gives me pause, even though I see the incredible upside that everybody else sees.
Look, it's well known that your path to becoming a Hall of Fame quarterback might have been the most unusual in the history of the sport. They made a movie about it. But generally speaking, we had a good debate earlier this morning here, Kurt, and I'd love to hear your perspective on it. That a guy like Drake May, everyone who comes on my show says to me, he needs to sit a little while. He needs to come into the league and he needs to not be thrown out there right away. They need to have a bridge quarterback and let him take some time. And then immediately the pushback comes. Patience is so rare in the NFL these days. There's so much pressure on teams, on coaches to get these guys on the field. What is your perspective on the significance, the importance, particularly for a guy like Drake May, of coming into the league and teams having some patience before they throw him right in the mix?
I think every quarterback should have the opportunity to be able to sit and learn what goes into being an NFL quarterback, not just on the field, but understanding the leadership in the locker room and what it means when you go out there and you don't have success. Because so many of these guys are so used to having success, dealing with some sort of failure early on. But a lot of this is always going to come down to what the dynamic within the team is. I think there are certain guys that are made up to be able to handle that sort of failure, the struggles, the lumps early on. Eli Manning, a guy I was with in New York, I thought had a great makeup that he didn't play well early, but you knew that wasn't going to be something that would affect him long term. So playing is always going to give you a better chance to grow in the areas that you need to grow. But any situation where you've got a veteran quarterback can have success and you can allow your young quarterback to come along and get comfortable with playing in the NFL, a la Jordan Love and what we saw from him last year, I think that is a benefit, not just for Drake May, but it would be a benefit for any of these guys that found themselves in that kind of situation.
It's such an interesting perspective. And, Nick, I feel like it's sort of exactly what you were saying a minute ago, and yet you and I have said far more young quarterbacks in this league are ruined than developed, and this, I think, is a big part of the reason why.
Yeah, I mean, the evidence is out there. It seems pretty clear that all the best quarterbacks that we have in football are guys that not necessarily set, but came into good situations where all the pressure wasn't on them to be franchise changers. Like, those type of players don't come around often, where it's just you're so good that we drop you on any team and you change the fortunes. The important thing is to protect that very important player, which is the quarterback, and make sure you give him time to develop. The quarterback that we see now for Patrick Mahomes is the best version of Patrick Mahomes that we've seen, despite the fact that it's not the highest numbers. It's because he's added more and more things to his game, in part because he walked onto a ready-made roster and he's set for a year. So I just don't think these are coincidences. At some point, we need to accept that guys going into, or teams going into the draft thinking that they're going to find a savior at quarterback are doing it all wrong. You need to build the car before you get the driver. It seems like the evidence suggests that that's what's worked time and time again in the NFL.
It's an interesting way to look at it. All right, let me pause briefly on that thought. Kurt is with us for the hour. We have a million other things that we're going to get to here on the draft, including what they're going to do in Buffalo. The Bills need a replacement for Stephon Diggs, but if you listen to their general manager, you would think that is not a priority in Buffalo. We'll hear what he had to say. Plus, he won the championship last year at Michigan, but is J.J. McCarthy worthy of a top five pick? You're going to hear at least one voice say the answer is no. It's all on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Back on Get Up. Let's do QB quick reads with one of the greatest of all time, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, with us this morning from NFL Network as we do a little more of our crossover coverage. Looking forward to next week's draft. All right, Kurt, we did not actually touch on the guy who we assume will go number one in this draft, and that's Caleb Williams. For your first QB quick read, do you believe he is the best quarterback prospect in the draft?
I do believe he's the best prospect. We've seen the most from him with the amount of time that he's played, the amount of throws that he's made. He's a natural thrower of the football, which to me is where it starts. But then you've seen everything else you want to see, the ability to play on schedule in the pocket, the ability to make those tough second-level throws down the field, and obviously the creativity outside the pocket.
And then the second question would be about immediate impact. We just talked about how it might be best for a lot of these guys to sit and wait, but we also recognize most of them are going to get thrown out onto the field. I mean, C.J. Stroud set the league on fire last season. If you had to pick one guy you think has the best chance of doing that as a rookie, which of these guys would it be?
Greeny, this is a tough one because C.J. Stroud was doing things last year that I never saw in college. He played the game differently, which I believe all of these guys will have to do. But if I'm picking one guy, I'm taking Jaden Daniels based on what we saw last year in terms of all the different things that he could do, his comfort inside the pocket, his ability to throw the ball and push the ball down the field. I think Jaden Daniels has the best opportunity, along with where I think he's going to get picked, to have that kind of impact.
All right, so we'll go through some of the other top quarterback prospects and more in a couple of minutes. Right now, though, I want to go to Buffalo because this is going to be a very different looking team, particularly the wide receiver room. It's undergone major changes, the biggest of all of them being Josh Allen's former longtime top target, Stephon Diggs, getting traded to Houston. Yesterday, the general manager, Brandon Bean, was asked if getting a wide receiver one is a priority.
If there's a one that pops up either in, you know, free agency or draft that makes sense for us or a really good two, you know, we'll do it. But I don't think having a one or not having a one, Matt, doesn't mean we can't have success, you know, on offense or as a team.
A lot to put on a quarterback, and we've seen Patrick Mahomes lose his best receiver. I see the smile on your face, Kurt Warner. What is your reaction to that? Do the Bills need to get a top-flight wide receiver, yes or no? Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, that's GM speak. Yes, you need to get a top-flight number one receiver. I'd like to have two of those. I mean, I played with all kinds of number ones in my day, and there's something about having a guy that you know in critical situations, I can go to that guy and he's going to win. No quarterback in this league where you have so much on you and you're going to throw the football wants to go out there and wonder if they've got a guy given a big time situation, if that guy's going to win, if that guy's going to be able to make the play. Stephon Diggs was that guy for Josh Allen that he could count on. Yes, they need to go out. If there's one out there, like their general manager said, if there's one out there to get, but they have to try the best they can to get a weapon, to get a guy for Josh Allen.
Well, we expect as many as 7 wide receivers in round one. So there should be people available in the draft and then maybe free agent options. But again, you were around Brandon Bean a lot, Jeff Darlington. What should we take away from what he said there?
I do believe that he'll continue to scour the market, whether through the draft or free agency, because I know that he's got to value that position. You saw what happened with the Chiefs this last year. They at least had Rashee Rice to fall back on when they got that trust going between Patrick Mahomes and him. So the Bills need at least that. They need to at least find somebody in the draft that has the potential to be a number one wide receiver. They can't simply go into this season expecting to put the entirety of the weight on Josh Allen's shoulders. And I believe Brandon Bean absolutely knows that deep down inside.
Mike T, you've brought up many times on this show, not just rookies, but also possibly looking at trades and other ways of bringing in a big target.
Yeah, and when we get past the draft in June 1st, Tre'Davious White's money comes off of their salary cap, and two receivers in particular, Greedy. One could be Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers, T. Higgins of the Bengals could be available. Yeah. And I think the other X factor to me is Dalton Kincaid. He was a guy they traded up for a year ago. He had 73 receptions. I think in the middle field, he would be a great complement to one of those other receivers. So when you factor in Kincaid's improvement, what they do at 28, and those two veteran receivers, I think by the time we get to opening day, Greeny, this could look dramatically different.
Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that we saw kind of proof of concept last year when Joe Brady took over, as they went into an offense where Dalton Kincaid was mentioned and James Cook also kind of blew up for that offense. I think that it's possible. Obviously, there's a better way to go about it, or an easier way, I guess, to go about it if you have a true number one receiver, which I'm sure they'll probably draft someone. But if that person doesn't pan out, I do think that between the ability to coach up their defense and their offense that we saw last year and the talent of Josh Allen, we could see them have success and be competitive without a true number one receiver. And I know Patrick Mahomes is an example that we use often, but we saw Lamar Jackson do it for years without a true number one receiver. When you have a quarterback as good as Josh Allen, while you may not want to, or you may not be able to get the best out of him without a true number one receiver, all is not lost if you don't get one there in Buffalo.
Kurt, here's the way I look at it. If they don't get someone who makes a difference, then we're going to get to November and they're going to be like 5-6. And all of the shows on your network and ours are going to be saying, what's wrong with Josh Allen? That's going to be the topic bar. It's not going to be, do they need a, why didn't they get a number one? It's going to be, what's wrong with Josh Allen? I guess that's the lot in life of the quarterback. But it feels to me, Kurt, like they're putting a lot on his shoulders.
Well, they've always put a lot on his shoulders, and it eases the burden when you do have that guy that you can just look out there and forget about everybody else and go to that guy one-on-one. We have to also remember, down the stretch last year, they ran the football really well, which was something that they really haven't done when Josh Allen has been behind center for them. So all of this can, you know, be kind of shoved underneath the rug if you can run the football and you can do some of the things that they did down the stretch. But my worry is that, hey, when teams can focus on that and you don't have that game changer on the outside, so defenses stack the box, they play downhill, even more of that weight falls on Josh Allen. And not have a big-time difference maker on the outside, I think looms large when you look around the AFC landscape and what you're going to be asking Josh Allen to do.
That's exactly right. Their running game was Josh Allen up until then. Yes, Mike?
I'm dying to ask you this, Greeny. When they're 5-6, are they looking up at the New York Jets?
Oh, yes. They're looking way up at the New York Jets. They couldn't be looking higher up at the New York Jets. Oh, we'll get to that with Kurt. Oh, trust me. We will get to that with Kurt as we continue. Meanwhile, everyone stay where you are. We have more football to do, and we got some hoops as well. Here they go again. It's the King against the Joker. Stephen A. is going to explain why this could wind up being the biggest series of LeBron's career. No kidding. Plus, is Joel Embiid healthy enough to lead the Sixers past Jalen Brunson and the Knicks? We'll talk about all those. We'll answer those questions. But first, let's see if Legs and Han can answer this sneaky one from Hembo. Among players to ever win the NBA's MVP award, who has played in the fewest playoff series wins in his career? Which MVP won the fewest playoff series in his career?
We should get this.
Got an idea.
We should get this.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, we are back approaching the bottom of the hour here. Get up. We got Han and Legs, and they're going head-to-head with Hembo. Here's the question. Among players who have won NBA MVP, which one has played in the fewest playoff series wins in their career? So it could be a current player, or it could be a player from the past.
Okay, we got to think about immediately, obviously, somebody who would, you know, you think didn't make deep playoff runs. Maybe one, but not like a bunch of deep playoff runs. Right. First round. And that's about it, maybe. Win a round at most, often, or a guy that hasn't been there very often either. The two names that came up with were Allen Iverson and the answer, which I'm going to give you, which is the right answer, Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is second. Allen Iverson is third.
Oh.
Derrick Rose is first.
Oh.
Derrick Rose.
We should have got that.
1-4. Oh.
We're dunking on people.
Oh, they dunked on you. They dunked on you.
Dunking on people. With a jet helmet on, too.
That was Hembo and Pineapple Jack. Derrick Rose won 4 playoff series in his career.
I'm sick.
Embiid has won 5. Iverson won 6.
If we had 2 more minutes in that commercial break, we would have come up with Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose aspect. Of this.
Yes, I know. That's easy to
makes
say
makes a lot
now.
Of sense. At least we got 2 and 3. I said we'd be close.
You'd right. have a hell of a run.
By the way,
3 of them were in the first, in 1 year.
Devastating news. On that slam dunk, Hembo tweaked his knee. He's questionable for radio a little bit later. We'll see how that turns out. Okay, let's continue with the get up and the NBA. And our next game is called What Are the Chances? Okay, so here we go. Legs, what are the chances that Philly beats the Knicks in round 1?
Right now I'm going 45%. Okay, and I reserve the right to change that once I see Joel Embiid in the first half of game 1. Because if he looks similar to what he did against Miami, that number's about right. Because I think it's a long series and they will lose that series if he's not better than that. If he looks great, then I think Philadelphia wins the series.
All right, we're going to get into that series a little more in a minute. Alan, what are the chances that Phoenix beats Minnesota?
I'm going to go 49%. I think this is going to be a very close series. It's going to be all about closing out the games and also the matchup with Kevin Durant, what they have, because Ant-Man and Beal is going to be a great matchup to watch. The defense of the Timberwolves has been great all year, but you do have 3 big-time scorers on the Suns. They have just not had good fourth-quarter offense. Can they figure it out in the postseason? If they can, they can win this series.
Meanwhile, Legs, it's the King against the Joker. What chances do you give the Lakers of beating Denver?
I'm going 30%, and when we do the math on that, if it takes 4 wins to win a series and they're going to get a 30% chance, they're going to win 1.2 games.
Okay.
And that's what I use, and that's about right, right? Between 1 and 2, I don't think anybody thinks this is going 7. I don't think anybody really thinks the Lakers are going to win this series. This is going to be a 5.5 to 6 game series. Ultimately, they're just not enough for the Lakers to deal with this team.
Yeah, the over-under is 5.5 in most of the places I've seen, but that brings us to Sound Off, because one person who did suggest he thinks the Lakers have a chance to win is Stephen A., and that isn't all he said. Yesterday on First Take, listen to what he said about what another championship run could mean for LeBron James.
Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. If LeBron James beats Denver and marches forward to ultimately win another chip, I don't know how strong my argument is going to be on behalf of Jordan moving forward.
That just throws more into the stew here of what is at stake. LeBron James, if you want to make an argument for LeBron as the greatest player of all time, his longevity and the accomplishments that he has piled one on top of another,
are the best part of your argument. He has just done, it is just inarguable that he has done things longer than Michael Jordan did them in his career. That's not debatable. It's a statement of fact. You can make it as important as you want to make it. If he beats the Joker here, the player who really is starting to look invincible, the Joker has kind of a Drago kind of feel to him. If he knocks off that guy in this series and starts on a run, at that point, I don't think there's any team they can't beat.
Yeah.
This is going to be a remarkable run for LeBron James at 39.
Well, first, I agree with you that if they take out Denver, the adrenaline and the confidence that that group is going to have to now look like we got the big dog out of the way, they're going to think that they can win the whole thing, including beating the Boston Celtics. And think about what that run would mean, beat Denver, potentially beat Kevin Durant, maybe beat, take care of Luka and Kyrie at some point, then get the Celtics a 64-win team. And that's what it would take to make that happen. I absolutely agree with Stephen A. in this regard. That's about the only thing LeBron could do at this point. Because I say this all the time. He is cemented at number two as much as anything on any list you could ever create is cemented at two. There's no movement there. He's not getting caught from behind anytime soon. And there's nothing he could do to make up the ground with Jordan. This would move people in that direction. I still think people are so entrenched in their opinion on this topic, I don't think ultimately you get people to jump sides. But my goodness, Stephen A.'s life would be miserable with Shannon Sharpe every day if this were to happen, listening to what Shannon would have to say about LeBron.
That's fair. That said,
can he
do it? But
can he win this series?
Yeah.
I mean, anything's possible, to quote Kevin Garnett. But minus 350 for Denver and plus 270 for the Lakers, ESPN bet. There's a reason why those numbers are as far apart as they are. It would be a gigantic, monumental upset. Is it possible? Of course it is. But LeBron James was already talking about how tired he was after the play-in game. He was already talking about how tired he was then. We saw how tired he was late in the Western Conference Finals, late in games. His fourth quarter numbers in those games were bad. How exhausted would he be if they were able to pull off this upset? How much more would he have left in the tank? LeBron James is a great player, and we keep raising the bar for him. All right, LeBron, you're great, but not great enough yet. Jump over this bar now at 39 years old. I almost feel like it's an unfair narrative to bring up, but it's fun to talk about because it's him, and he has jumped over so many hurdles already. But it's almost impossible to believe this could happen.
Okay, but let's put it aside for a minute here. Let's put all the other what's at stake stuff aside. If we're sitting here in a week and a half, 2 weeks, and the Lakers have won this series, and no one got injured, and the Joker didn't go out, how will we say it happened? How will they have done it?
Ultimately, it's going to, for me, it goes without saying AD is going to have to be great. I feel like we always start this conversation, well, AD, no kidding.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. AD is going to have to be great in this series. We expect LeBron to be great. We know what Jokic is going to be. We know those things. So then where else does it come from? I think I would call it above your pay grade shooting performances out of the role players of the Lakers. There are going to be shots to be had in this series.
D'Lo.
D'Angelo Russell, mm-hmm. Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. And LeBron, I'll throw into that category. He had the best three-point shooting year of his career. It might take nights where he makes four or five threes in addition to getting 12 amongst that other group because the looks will be there. And if those guys have those nights where they can string them together. Now, look, I expect Denver would make an adjustment if it was going on earlier in the series. But I'm just saying, you're asking what it's going to take? It's going to take that. They're going to have to win the three-point battle, and not just by one or two made threes. They're going to have to win it by five or six made threes,
yes,
on a given night to make up for what Jokic is doing to you. That, to me, is what we'd be talking about.
Play faster. Play fast. That's the other thing, too. Can they get be more athletic than Denver, because Denver is lacking a little bit of that. If you're trying to find, which is very difficult to do, weaknesses of the Nuggets, one of them could be they're not a really athletic team that wants to get out and run that much.
Let me continue with sound off here and back to our friend Stephen A. on First Take. We all know he is a crazy fan of the New York Knicks. Here's what he said when he was asked how worried he is about Joel Embiid and the Sixers.
The only person that's going to be able to have an answer for the pressure that the New York Knicks are going to bring is Embiid, who once again is hobbled. And I believe that the New York Knicks know that. They will exercise that. They will exploit that. They will take advantage of that, and they will win this series. I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried.
He ain't worried about this Philadelphia 76ers. Should he be?
I love my boy, but come on. Let's not take it that far. I agree with him about Embiid to the point where I have flipped who I think is going to win the series. I thought the Philly could go to the conference finals. Now, I don't think they beat the Knicks because what I saw was not a guy that was gassed. I saw a guy that was certainly conditioning was a factor. It's the leg. He's not himself. He's not the impact force that he is, particularly defensively. He just wasn't that. Now, if that's all conditioning, we're going to find out on Saturday. But if he looks similar to what he looked against Miami with doing certain things at a limited capacity, the Sixers can't win the series, but not worried? Come on, man. Like, look, we know what Brunson's going to do. They got some streaky players on this team for the Knicks. To think this is a foregone conclusion, that all these guys show up in a big way and Philly can't win the series, that's taking it too far.
Are you worried?
No, not worried at all because of what I saw from Embiid, and that was the one thing that kept me worried. I am a little concerned about Nick Nurse because he's a great coach, will come up with some type of defense to make it frustrating for Jalen Brunson. But if you think that the Knicks playing at Madison Square Garden are going to have any issues there, no. They'll go into Philadelphia. You know that Jalen Brunson and his guys from Villanova, they have two banners hung up in that building.
Yeah.
They win there. Like, they're not walking into a place being intimidated. That's home to them. So for them, this series plays out where the pressure's on the Knicks to win this thing because they should win it if Embiid is playing on one leg. I am not worried at all about the Knicks not being able to win this series. I'm just concerned with what is Nick Nurse and, you know, Oubre and Batum, what are they going to throw at the Knicks and Brunson to try to make this a longer series than it needs to be?
Well played, my friend. Instead of using the word worried, you keep saying concerned.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's the same
thing. I was a writer.
That's the last thing, and I said this to Helen. I reserve the right to be right originally, by the way, if Embiid looks right. If he looks like his peak form, like I just watched 2 weeks ago, and it turns out it was conditioning and he's moving great on Saturday night, I think Philly's got a better team. But we got to wait and see it because what I saw was so concerning against the Heat. I just don't know how you overcome that.
Well, let's make that point again early, because you said it earlier this morning. One of two things was happening on Wednesday night. One, his conditioning was not where it needed to be because of the time that he has missed and the time he missed last week. That is something that might get better. Two, he's limited physically by the knee in some other way. That won't get better. And thus, the answer to that question will give us the answer to whether or not we should be worried.
Okay, exactly. And we're all going to see it on Saturday night. We're going to have a much better understanding, probably even by halftime, of how this series is going to go based on the way Joel
What did it look like to you? Because you know the sport better than anybody. You played it. Did he look gassed or did he look like he just can't move?
Early in the game, gassed. As the game went on, no. It was beyond that. There's three things I look for in Embiid when he plays to know that he's right. He changes ends of the floor at a high level when he's right. He wasn't doing that at all. He seals guys in the paint and holds it there and demands the basketball. He did it one or two times. Not very much. He basically was relegated to playing on the perimeter for the most part. And then the biggest thing, his lateral movement and impact defensively is so good when he's right. He wasn't covering ground, meeting guys at the rim. He wasn't tracking guards to the rim. He was kind of a stationary force back under the basket. That's not what he is when he looks like he's feeling good. And that, those three things for me, he's always going to make shots and make passes. He's skilled. He wasn't doing the physical things that he does when he's feeling close to 100%.
If he can't do that, if he can't be great, then certainly the Knicks, it would seem, have a huge advantage. We'll find out. That starts tomorrow night. Tonight, the final two playoff spots will be decided, and you'll see one of the games right here on ESPN. We've got the 8th seed game in the East. Bulls and Heat coverage starts 6:30 Eastern with NBA Countdown. Winner gets Boston starting Sunday. Coming up, he won a national championship in Michigan. But is J.J. McCarthy really worth a top pick? We'll ask that question to the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and others as we continue next. Get up on ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN and ABC.
In Eminem's hometown, and we couldn't be more excited to be there. We'll be there. So, of course, will NFL Network and our friend Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, is hanging out with us this morning here as part of our crossover programming. Kurt, let's go through the biggest quarterback questions. There are four QBs that we know will go at or near the very top of this draft next Thursday. Let's get into the question marks surrounding them. What is your biggest question about Caleb Williams?
Well, Greeny, I've always said playing quarterback and drafting quarterbacks is not an exact science, because there is questions with all these guys, and they're all going to have to play better at the NFL level. But my biggest question is his ability to have patience and play inside the pocket. If there was one thing that I saw from Caleb this year, now, didn't have the team around him that he had a year ago, but he wanted to create more. He didn't have the patience to work the pocket, stay in the pocket. I saw glimpses of that, but I want to see that at a higher level, because I believe that is where it all starts at the NFL level.
All right, so he's the presumptive number one. Jaden Daniels, it has felt for a while like, is going to go number two, although that, I think, is right now in question. What's your biggest question about the Heisman Trophy winner?
For me, it's really, is this what we saw last season going to be the norm for Jaden Daniels? That we've seen him play a lot in college, and it was never anywhere close to the level that he played at last year. Was that maturity? Is he at a point now where this is what you're going to get every year moving forward? Or was last season more of an anomaly? Everything came together. It was one of those special, special seasons, but you may not get that from him at the NFL level. So that, to me, is a question if you're drafting him so high.
How about Drake May? We also expect to hear his name early on Thursday night. What's your biggest question about him?
Well, Drake May is really about consistency. It's not about, does he have the physical ability to make the throws and make difference-making throws each time he steps on the field. It's the consistency. When you watch tape, the quarterbacks that give their team a chance every week are the ones that make the layups, make the throws they're supposed to make. He missed way too many of those throws last year. And so you have to wonder, can he continue to grow in that area? Can he quickly correct some of those things so he can make more of the layups at the NFL level?
All right, and so they've been long considered the big three, and then now J.J. McCarthy has become a late entry to this party. He may even crash the top three picks next Thursday night. What is your biggest question about the Michigan quarterback?
Well, Greeny, definitely a bunch of things to like. I like the technique by which he plays. Obviously, you like the fact that he won a lot of football games. But if I'm drafting someone in the top five, I want to know that I can trust him to win games with his right arm. We never had to see that. We never saw the pressure on him to have to make throw after throw after throw, week after week, to carry his football team. You will have to do that in the National Football League with the way the league is built, with the talent at the quarterback position. So that is a huge question for me, because we've never seen it.
So if you had that question going in, and Mike Tannenbaum and Dominique Foxworth with us this morning, and you were a general manager or a coach making this decision, would you take J.J. McCarthy in the top five?
If you're asking me, Greeny,
yeah, Kurt.
I don't think I'd take him in the top five. I want to see a guy that I know can carry me with his right arm. That is just part of the process of being a franchise quarterback in the National Football League, is you can put the weight on their shoulders and you can believe if they have to throw every snap to win a football game that they can do it. I didn't see it from J.J. McCarthy. It would be tough for me to jump up into the top five and take him knowing that.
Yeah, so Mike Tannenbaum, and you're a longtime general manager. These guys are betting their careers on the outcome that Kurt is telling us is not a certainty. Would you be willing to bet your career on J.J. McCarthy in the top five?
Absolutely. I'm all in on him, and I respectfully disagree with Kurt from this standpoint. In those high leverage moments, go back a couple years ago against Illinois, go down the stretch this year in the second half against Alabama. He made big-time throws. He could also make plays with his legs. He's almost rushed for 1,000 yards. And I think what Jim Harbaugh did, guys, was say, hey, we have a great team, great offensive line, great defense. A lot of times teams will lose games before we ever have to win it. So when he had to go win games, he showed the ability to do it. Not as consistently as you'd like to see, but I'm betting on the floor and I'm betting on the character, which is an enormous ceiling.
Neat, get in here.
Yeah, I have to stick with the Hall of Famer on this one. We're all projecting, so of course we could be wrong. Maybe he turns into something else, and maybe the situation allows him to be that. But if I'm betting my career on it in the top five, I want to draft a guy who I've seen do it. Like, I know what the ceiling for all these guys are, even though Drake May has been inconsistent, and even though Jaden Daniels, we just saw him put it all together this year. Even though Caleb Williams may not be as comfortable in the pocket as we want him to be. We've seen those guys put entire teams on their back week after week after week after week. We haven't seen J.J. McCarthy do it. It doesn't mean that he can't, but it'd be really tough for me to bet my career on someone becoming this type of franchise quarterback at the next level that they weren't even at the college level.
Well, that's the point, is what we're talking about here is an uncertainty of whether or not he's been able to do it.
Right.
We have players in this draft who feel certain. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, and there were a handful of others. The chances that these guys aren't going to be really good NFL players are, I'm not going to say they're zero, but they're infinitesimal, comparatively speaking. So the fact that he's a quarterback, Mike, how does that, when you're making this decision, how big is the quarterback bump?
Yeah, it's a big one, but I also compare him to Dak Prescott. I think his floor, Greeny.
Dak Prescott went in the fourth round.
No, I don't, but he was also second in the league MVP this year.
I understand that. Right. But I would take J.J. McCarthy in the fourth round. You're betting there's a lot of fourth-round quarterbacks don't turn out to be Dak Prescott.
Right, but my point is he comes in tomorrow, he starts, and you can win with him because he's a really good athlete. He can make all the throws, and I think if you put him in the right system where you're not asking him to throw 30, 40 times a game, you could win from day one. I love those other guys. I think Marvin Harrison has a chance to be a Hall of Famer without question. But to me, if you could get a quarterback that you can win week in and week out, like a Dak Prescott, that has to be the priority.
Kurt Warner, final comment.
Well, interesting with Mike saying that, because Dak Prescott, what's the one knock that we have on Dak is that he hasn't played his best in the biggest moments. So we see J.J. McCarthy that has some moments and has some great moments, but too often in this league, you've got to make those moments throughout the course of a game. It's not just, hey, can I make one play here, one play there, because my team is so good. So that's the one thing that I continue to fall back on with J.J. McCarthy. Really like him in a lot of ways, but just not sure I would stake my claim in the top five on a guy that hasn't shown it.
We'll all find out 6 days from now. Kurt, this was a pleasure for us. Thank you very much for being with us. You'll see some of the NFL Network folks and some of our folks on their network over the few days as we lead up to the draft. Thank you, Kurt. We'll see you in Detroit. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next here on ESPN. Does Stephen A. like that LeBron is downplaying the rematch? Plus, what's on the line for KD? It's First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Wendy Legler, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get Up is brought to you by Panera. Our new menu has 21 new and enhanced items. Try one today. Meanwhile, tomorrow afternoon on ABC and on the ESPN app with expanded coverage on ESPN+, we will have the NCAA Gymnastics Team Finals. That's coming your way at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Before we run for the weekend here and get ready to watch all the NBA, let's first watch one more time our dear friend Ryan Clark. Neek, he's one of your best friends. We have finally found something he doesn't do well.
Yet. Give the man a week, maybe a month. He'd be better than both of you guys who've been playing golf your whole life.
Now those, my friend, are fighting words. The last thing in the world I would ever do is fight you or RC. But I will say, you can give him as much time as he wants. And I don't... This is a bet I'd like to make.
I say game on.
Yeah, this is an ESPN bet I would love to make. Everybody, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the playoff hoops. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.